This is Virginia Vollmer Obel. My address is 1019 South 106th Plaza, apartment number 402, Omaha, Nebraska, 68114. I attended the University of Wisconsin from 1930 to 1934. I graduated from high school in Evanston, Illinois, the Evanston Township High School. My family took it for granted that I would be going to college. I considered Smith and the University of Wisconsin. Once I saw the university on a spring day of my senior year in high school, there wasn't any choice anymore. I was going to Wisconsin. I didn't have any career goal in mind. Orientation meant some standing in line, several days of lectures. I'll never forget the last one at the Ag Building, because I practically went to sleep in the middle of it, which is something that never happened to me or has seldom happened since. So it must have been lack of sleep or something. There must have been a counselor who helped select courses. If I remember rightly, we registered on Lake Street in a small building, stood in line. There wasn't much choice. You had, I think, a couple of courses that were electives. And I don't think the freshmen were treated too differently from other students. I sort of remember boys having to wear some silly hats that they usually didn't wear, but the girls didn't do anything except that they had to live in a dormitory their freshman year. I'd say in the psychology department, that was my major, the teaching was good. It was a little laid back compared to other courses. The only research I did was when I wrote my thesis. Then you ask about the personality of each teacher. I had a husband for several of my classes, and he was in charge of my thesis writing. He selected the thesis I would write because it was something that he was interested in having done, and because I was good at math, he thought that this would be a good one for me. He had the idea that there may be a correlation between boys coming in as freshmen and then graduating as lawyers. So tests were to be given at both, had been given at both times. And then their grades were correlated to see whether you could figure out who was going to get through law school. Because he had a calculator in his apartment, this was a purely scholastical visit. Well, I'd go over there on weekends and we'd work together. He wanted to be sure the math work was correct. The result of the thesis subject was that there was no important correlation. I'd say that he and Harlow were both teachers and friends. In final exams, a husband would let you bring your book with you. His reasoning is that he knew from your IQ and how your work and tests were during the semester what your approximate grade would be in a final test. I made one mistake in my taking psychology in my sophomore year, because all I'd had was introduction to psychology my freshman year, but my boyfriend and another couple we dated with were going to take abnormal psychology. And I found out later that sophomores were not supposed to take abnormal psychology. As a result of being with friends at the lectures and the fact that it was very difficult for the second year, I think I ended up with a C, and also had a C that semester in English history, which I didn't like. Otherwise, my 4 years were A's and B's, and these grades might have kept me from high honors instead of honors, or possibly Phi Beta Kappa. I had courses under Kaysen, but can't remember whether that one was under him in abnormal psychology. Harlow and his wife became personal friends. I had two boyfriends at different times who were friends of theirs and liked to play bridge with him. So there was many a time I was in their apartment at the manor at the end of Langdon Street. He really became famous with his monkey experiments, didn't he? Many times through the years I would see his name and work praised in the papers or magazines. The subject of alcohol. At first, when I went to college, I was not in favor of drinking hard liquor. I was born and brought up in a German family, and my grandfather would let me have a small glass of beer when I was young, so I didn't think there was anything wrong with beer. But I was there at Prohibition time, and we'd go to Lohmeyer's drugstore, or I don't know what you call it, drugstore or place to eat. But anyway, you could get spiked beer there. It was right close on State Street. I drank that spiked beer, not a lot of it, because I never liked the feel of having had too much to drink, and just pretend, well, I can drink beer. My family did. But the second year, I changed, and I drank some hard liquor. At fraternity dances, we would go to the boys' rooms, except for a few who didn't do this, but most did, and we'd have a drink in their room and then go back down and dance. We went to Italian speakeasies in their basements. Jenny Justo's was the most popular. Then there was one out in the country that you had to drive quite a ways, and if the weather was nice, you'd sit out in the yard and have a beer. Not a place for drunks on the whole. These places were to hang out, and while you're hanging out there, feel sort of wicked doing it. It was very much an accepted thing to do. Of course, some girls refused to drink, but as I remember, those didn't have too many dates. Incidentally, my daughter went to the University of Wisconsin, and my father was very upset when he heard that she would take a drink there. So I had to remind him. I said, "Did you date girls who didn't drink in Wisconsin?" And he gave me a funny look, and he said, "Well, I guess I didn't." I didn't mean my father, I meant my husband. Mixing up papers, for some reason I switched to alcohol from the subject of psychology before finishing the psychology, which I will do now. The classes that were strong or acknowledged as strong were those that had something to do with the monkey research, which was starting at that time. I don't know of any weak classes. The professors that I talked about were friends and very available, and I imagine the others were also available. There were no clubs or organizations that I belonged to as an undergraduate. If there were some, I don't remember them. You would like to know my favorite class outside of psychology, and I would say that it was art appreciation. I knew nothing about the subject. I learned a lot that I was glad to know the rest of my life, although I was not artistically inclined. It's just nice to know about it, be a little educated. In housing, I started out and lived in a dorm my first year, and I lived there for 1 year. I lived in Langdon Hall, a private dormitory. I wouldn't know the name of my house mother. There was someone in charge. Her responsibilities were, of course, to see that the dorm was run well, that the food was good, that the girls obeyed the rules, and that the dorm was kept in good shape. Typical evening meal, I can't give you what was in it except to tell you that it was the kind of food I was used to, and on the whole, it was good food. I can remember one thing we did that they didn't stop us from doing. Now, when I look back, I think they should have. Some of us at lunchtime would walk through the cafeteria at Langdon Hall, look to see what was being served. If it didn't strike us as something very good, we would continue to go out the back door, go into the back door to a cafeteria that opened up on State Street and have lunch there. We were expected to dress well for evening dinner. We always did dress well, even high heels most of the time, dresses, skirts, and blouses. What happened wearing high heels was that we always needed new lifts on them from climbing the hill. The tables were arranged for either 4, 6, or 8, and I can't remember about decoration. The food was served by waiters. The house mother was present. If the manners were stressed, I don't remember. If they were bad, perhaps someone did something about it. I can't remember a prayer. The food was good most of the time. We had rules. The rules were house rules. They had rules like, not too noisy at night, sign out and in on time, very strict about that. Had certain times when boys could be in the lounge. I'll tell you about the maintenance man because that was funny. Everybody would kid about it. He was one who was supposed to keep the light bulbs fixed and things that went wrong and so forth. And he'd come to your room because you had asked for something at some time beforehand. And he would knock on the door, but he would knock, one knock, and then immediately open the door and come in. And he never knew and whether we had clothes on or not, and we never knew when he was going to knock. But it was just a joke. There was nothing serious about it. I lived in the residence hall for a year, moved into the Delta 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 sorority house for my next 3 years. I joined Delta 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 my second semester. Rush was scary. You try to put on a good front. If you were shy, as I was at the time, you didn't quite enjoy it as much as you could if you weren't. there was no real pressure. They had smoking rules in some of the houses. Some would have a room where you could smoke. Some you had to go outdoors to smoke. That sort of thing didn't last very long during my time at school. I smoked, and they smoked any place in the Tridale house. I think it was the end of rules of where one could smoke and one couldn't, and now we're back to new rules of where one smokes and one couldn't. Luckily, I quit several years ago, so I don't have to bother about those rules. Hell Week was mostly doing what your sorority senior mother assigned you to do, which would be in the line of housework. We had to make their beds. And I can remember my mother bringing me in after I'd made her bed the first time and said, "Didn't anybody ever teach you how to make a bed?" Well, they hadn't. I didn't make beds at home. The only other thing is I think that we did skits for them. There was no hazing. Tryout had dances, as all the sororities did. They had teas. They went in for competition on homecoming decorations. I can't remember anything especially cultural. They didn't do what they seem to be doing now, and that is making money for needy organizations. The academic functions that the sorority participated in that I think of is that they saw to it that their bright girls were in activities. Our house was located on Langdon Street, quite a distance walk to school. The house probably held about 35 or 40 girls. The house, I think, was the old governor's home at one time, and they added a third floor to it. They added a sleeping dormitory. When you went in as a sophomore, you would be in a room with three of you that was supposed to hold two small closets. It was quite a difference from at home or at Langdon Hall, but who cared? The house was wonderful in that it was an old house, therefore it wasn't built for a sorority house, and the rooms on the first floor were different sizes, shapes, a music room, a library, a study, and then they had added a large room on the back and a large dining room on the back. There weren't any long halls. You had a graceful stairway that went up, and the rooms were around the stairway, and then you went on to the third floor. You had a feeling more that it was a home than that it might have been a sorority house. We had a house mother. We had an alumni advisor who oversaw the house. She would come regularly and advise us, and she was in charge of seeing that it was financially sound. Then we would have national advisors come a couple of times a year to be sure that the rules are being followed and the bills were being paid and that the house was in order. Yes, there were house rules. Violators were usually penalized by having to stay in a certain number of nights. Delta 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 lived too close, I think, to the Kappa Sigs when you're talking about close ties. We got into some trouble with them. that I will mention later. Yes, it was important to be in a sorority or a fraternity at that time. More important to be in a sorority, I think. There were rivalries in the Greek organizations. The way the sororities were, wonder if they still are, there was something called the Big Six. Those were the sororities that were the first six sororities to be formed on the campus. Tried out was called the seventh of the Big Six because they were the seventh sorority. But the Big Six were the sororities. My first year, I had a boyfriend that I dated quite a bit. He was a freshman. His fraternity told him to only date girls from the Big Six. We met at a freshman get acquainted dance at the Union. He paid no attention to what his fraternity brothers had told him. It didn't make any difference to him if I belonged to the Big Six or the Seventh or the Eighth or the Ninth. Also, boyfriends from my high school dated me, and they paid no attention to those fraternity suggestions. I was elected to Sigma Epsilon Sigma. I think it was almost totally on grades. It didn't meet, as I can remember. It was mostly getting a pin. And I can't remember any activities that they did. Now, mortarboard was different in that you met regularly and you had officers. I believe I was secretary, I'm not too sure. Mortarboard had no real functions that I can remember. They may have advised on some things, although I doubt it. They did choose the next year's members. Phi Kappa Phi was the same as Sigma Epsilon Sigma. You were elected to it because of your grades and your activities. I became involved in WSGA in my sophomore year. I'd had fine grades and had been very active in high school. And members of my sorority, who already belonged, recommended me. There were about 10 or 12 members in the WSGA. We met regularly at the Union. The members were nominated and elected to WSGA by the ones who were in it already with some faculty advice. The types of issues generally were rules, hours, any troubles, articles that might have been in one of the papers that they didn't like. I did think that a controversial issue at that time was hours that girls had to get into the dorms, and then we did have a march that we were marching up to the Capitol to protest the fact that professor salaries were being lowered. It was the Depression. We knew that, but we thought the legislature should do their best to keep the professor salaries up so we wouldn't lose the good ones. I can't tell you about my involvement with the YWCA. It was my freshman year, and I can't remember much about it. I read the Daily Cardinal. I thought it was a good paper. Sometimes it was a little leftist. It did something special for me because my boyfriend, who was a junior, I went with him part of junior and senior year, was head of advertising for the Daily Cardinal. As a result, he had free tickets to to the movies. He had free tickets to the dance halls. He had free tickets for Sunday suppers. You know, that was quite a boy to date. The Badger was a good book, and The Octopus was very amusing. I bought both of them. My leisure time, I had quite a bit of, because of my learning habits. I was able to learn fast. Unhappily, when you do that, you don't remember it as long when you're thinking about years. And as a result, I was able to do my studying quickly, and I was conscientious, so I saw to it that I did my studying at times so that I could have a lot of leisure time. I spent it on dates. Dancing was my favorite. Movies, shopping, Cokes at the farm, ice cream at the chocolate shop. Divine. I didn't spend much social time in the Memorial Union, but because of activities, I was in there for meeting, in meeting rooms, for meals where we would have meals in private rooms for meetings. I didn't sit or play or eat there except in the springtime. We would go and sit on the terrace and eat once in a while. The union was mostly used by the people not belonging to fraternities or such. Women were not given full access to the union. I think I remember that the men had some place to relax and some place to eat where women were not allowed. The major social events of the year I remember the most were the dances. I will select the junior prom because it was such a big thing at that time. A boy had to have money to go because it cost quite a bit. There were corsages. It lasted for 3 days. And then if you were with a group, it might have been 5. This was between semesters in the end of January. It lasted for 3 days officially. On Thursday night, a fraternity would have a dinner dance. On Friday night was prom proper at the union, always with a big name band. Saturday night was another formal dinner at a fraternity house. I can remember that Sunday the boy was supposed to take you to supper. And one year, the night before, we celebrated by going to a winery between Madison and Milwaukee. I have discussed the alcohol when I wasn't supposed to. Now I can go on to tobacco. I think I discussed that enough for women. My family had said to me, please do not smoke until you have graduated from high school, so I think I started to smoke the day after. Sex was a lot different from today. It's hard to describe, I guess. Girls kissed, girls petted. They didn't go any further except for a few. We had a little trouble in our sorority with a few girls that we suspected went farther. We knew of no drugs to take unless you want to call alcohol a drug. My education was financed by cash by my parents. They suffered a little from the Depression, but not a lot. So I didn't have a scholarship or a loan. I was offered a scholarship to Smith College. At that time, high school graduates were offered scholarships not on the basis of need, but on the basis of their activities and grades in high school. My first year, I went to church occasionally. I was a Christian Scientist, and unfortunately for me, I enjoyed the philosophy courses I took. Don't take me wrong, I loved my philosophy courses. But what they did was ruin the Bible for me. Christian Science was based completely on the Bible. And they taught us that the Bible was written on hearsay years later than when Jesus was alive. And, you know, when people tell stories, they become enlarged and changed through the years. So that was hard on my religion. I had no involvement with religious houses. Before I went to college, I never missed a Sunday school unless I was out of town, because I liked it. Christian Science is an intellectual religious study, and I always, well, everybody always had questions. I couldn't wait to get to Sunday school to ask their questions and have them answered. The attitudes towards women, the men respected them. They were friendly with them. Some people went steady together. Most women were not thinking about a career. Now, the Jews, there were so many Jewish people from New York who were very different from the rest of us. Coming from the Middle West. They were liberal. They didn't dress well. They sat in tables in front of the union with things to sign. Probably some of them were communists. They were very much on the left side. They were the ones who filled the union rooms, the open rooms. The blacks and the other racial minorities were accepted. The groups didn't mix. They didn't join fraternities and sororities, except for maybe a few. There was no particular hostility, because you knew that they wouldn't be there if they didn't have some brains, so they could be respected. Out-of-state students were accepted very well, no difference. Foreign students, I think we liked to have them there for the atmosphere. Many of them wore their own styles from home, and we were glad that they could come. Discrimination against any of these groups, I don't remember. I'm sure there was some. The march on the Capitol was something so new to me. I didn't even think twice about doing it or not doing it, because I believed that it probably started in the WSGA, and the issue was that the professors were not going to get enough money because of the Depression, and the legislature wasn't giving the school enough money. Sounds familiar, happens today. I would say there might have been 50 students who marched down State Street with placards saying we wanted to keep, have enough money to keep our professors, and we marched through the Capitol. Nothing of note happened that I can remember, nor do I think the legislature gave the school any more money because of the march. Dean Louise Troxell Greeley was well liked. She was kind, she was gracious, she was understanding. I heard about the dean who came before her, who was just about the opposite. I did have one real personal encounter with her, an uncomfortable one. She did come to some of our meetings at the union. I didn't have much to do with the assistants to the dean of women that I can remember. I remember the names, O. Bayless, but that's all. My uncomfortable one with the dean of women was that in the end of my junior year, when I was spring activities and I was being elected to mortar board and so forth, I was president of my sorority. We had a girl that year who had come from another school, had been a tryout at another school, and because we needed to fill our rooms, probably, we accepted her and made her one of us. And she was fine until second semester when she started to date. Then we started to have trouble with her. It was trouble because she was a liar. I mean, an out-and-out liar. And that was very difficult to deal with. She broke rules of getting in at night and so forth and so on. The girls didn't tell me about this particular instance because they didn't want to spoil the end of my junior year with the delight of being in mortarboard and so forth. So they didn't tell me that this girl had been caught spending the night at the Kappa Sig House. But I was called to the office of the Dean of Women and learned about it there. And I didn't know much about it except that I described the girl and how she was troublesome. And then the dean said, well, we also hear about your sorority that when you have dances, the boys go up to the girls' rooms. And I said, well, there's a perfectly good explanation for that. There is no bathroom on the first floor for the boys, so they have to go up to use the house mother's private bathroom. And naturally, the boy will say to the girl, which one is your room? Can I see it? And they would go and see it, and sometimes they would sit down and chat in it. Now, maybe once in a great while, the boy might have had a flask on him, and they may have had a drink in the room. Who knows? But I understand, well, I saw, in fact, that in the years after that, when they had enough money, they built a bathroom. They took the library and built a bathroom on the first floor, which I'm sure solved that problem. President Frank, I wouldn't say that he was real popular with his students because he wasn't the type that made himself popular. I think he was a little on the cold and ambitious side. Where did we go on State Street in Madison? Of course, the pharmacy on the corner of State and Lake was a place to go, the place to see people, the place to have a coat. The cafeteria, as I mentioned before, the chocolate shop down the street, very popular. Lohmeyer's very popular. Spent much time in the co-op, went to the bookstore, and of course to dress shops on State Street and around the square. As far as I know, the relationship between the students and the merchants was good. They were careful about being sure that they were paid. The only notoriety that I can remember would be in Lohmeyer's because they served a spiked beer. The pharmacy was notorious because everybody went there. There was nothing wrong with it. That's how they were known. Beyond State Street, we shopped all around the square, the main department store and the dress shops. And we went to restaurants along State Street and the square. We got along fine with the Madison youth. In fact, I married one. And my daughter married one 23 years later. A boy or girl, we got along fine. It was nice to have a good girlfriend because then you could sign out to stay at her house all night, say on a Saturday night, you wouldn't have to come in at 12:30. My husband had a story about the local girls. He said when school was over in the spring and they'd call up a local girl to have a date, they'd say, "Well, it's funny, you never call us during the year." I'd like to add that beyond State Street, we went to speakeasies. We had two favorite dance places, the one across Lake Monona that was open when the weather was good. Then went out a country road to a place that was near Madison. There were also dances at the Women's Club, and the Union had Saturday night dances. Now, how did the Depression affect me? I personally had enough. I wasn't what you'd call a big spender, and so if my allowance was reduced, that didn't bother me. It had a lot of impact on many friends and classmates. Our house was depleted. There were many girls who moved next door into the boarding house there, and then there were girls who had to go home. Luckily, Delta was well fixed financially, so they got through the Depression okay. The example of it on the university was I did think we lost a couple of good professors who were offered better salaries, but really not many. My career goals had never been great. I knew I was going to get married in a while. My husband-to-be went on and took his master's degree, and then he worked for a year before we were married. So I had 2 years there to work. Now, I wanted to work for a bank, but I hadn't had typing and shorthand, and I always thought, I know they teach it in high school, but I always thought, wasn't it too bad that I went to university for 4 years, spent money to go there, and then when I got out, I had to go to a business school, a fast 3 months course to learn typing and shorthand in order to get the kind of a job I wanted. And I wanted to work for a bank, so I took the course. Then I walked from bank to bank in Chicago, the big banks. And I was lucky. There was an opening in one of them, and I got it. When I got my engagement ring, I couldn't wear it, though, because when women got married, they would not be allowed to work there anymore. So I didn't wear it, and when we were married, my job was over. For other comments, I think Prohibition and the Depression were two big factors in influencing the time when I went to Wisconsin. I have found out since that Wisconsin was very liberal, especially about drinking. My friends from, I've been living in Omaha for, well, since 1950, and all of my friends who went to Nebraska University never drank until they were married. The other colleges seemed different in that way. The Depression, of course, was made other of my friends, lots of them, suffer. And there was less money to go on social events. Of course, the boys had less money to spend on girls. One rule I forgot to mention is you had to have a letter of permission from your parents to leave Madison at any time, except, of course, to come home. My family gave me one of those, so I had a lot of fun on weekends. We'd go to out-of-town football games. I would go to visit boys whose homes were in towns fairly close to Madison. I can remember that the Phi Gamma Deltas were allowed to visit Frank Lloyd Wright's cottage and bring their girlfriends on a weekend, not all night, but for the day. It was a lovely situation. I spent one summer school there, one really should at Madison on the lake. It was a great time. Water sports, picnics across Lake Mendota, not on Picnic Point though, because it was closed at that time, but we used farmers' empty lots on the lake. I took two subjects that weren't too difficult, and it was an experience, and I had a boyfriend the whole summer, and it was an experience that I'll never forget. I loved the University of Wisconsin. I know it was a liberal, some people would say wild school, I don't know. There are other schools just the same, I'm sure. But I never wanted to have had to give up that experience.